You are listening to A Good Book on Sun Sounds of Arizona.
Kirin's The Spell of Noan, written and narrated by James D. Priest.
Chapter 13. Events of the next few moments occurred so quickly and were so disturbing that to this day they are discussed and debated by Kirins who were there and even some who weren't. Witnesses observed the attack from a variety of vantage points. They agree that the third Granum jumped down and alighted next to Jilin. What happened next is where disagreement begins and the truth may never be known.
Jilin froze in terror, is one view.
He tried to flee, is another. He fought the monster, is yet another. A second bone of contention is what the creature did.
It reached out a claw and touched him on the shoulder, say some.
On the head, say others. He wasn't touched at all, insist others. The creature only pointed a bony finger at him. In any case, it's widely agreed the Granum did not demonstrate the violence toward him the two previous Granums had toward interfering Kirins. Witnesses also concur about what happened at the moment of attack. Jilin vanished, suddenly and completely, leaving not a trace. His disappearance came a moment before Hutt thrust his knife into the rear of the monster's head. The creature had power enough to turn on him and extend malicious arms, but before taking a step, it fell to the floor, foul fluid staining the surface on which it lay. With the third Granum unmoving at Hutt's feet, he glanced about for Jilin.
Jilin, said Tally, frightened. Where are you?
The stunned crowd looked for Jilin and in astonishment at one another. Only Spekeren suspected what had taken place.
What happened to Jilin? Where is he?
Were the outcries of bewildered Kirins, searching the area, calling his name, and talking among themselves in disbelief. Spekeren moved to the platform's center and raised his arms.
My friends, he shouted, please be quiet.
They became still, but one shouted back.
What became of Jilin? He's nowhere to be seen.
That's an apt way of putting it, said the magician in a subdued voice, trying to calm himself and the throng.
Jilin might still be among us.
Spekeren took a few steps toward the site of the youth's disappearance, near where the third Granum lay.
Jilin, lad, are you here? Can you hear me?
I can, came the response. Spekeren turned toward the voice, coming from his right.
Of course I'm here, said the voice. But I must admit I'm confused.
In the commotion since Hutt stabbed the last Granum, I've tried talking with several of you, and you paid no attention to me as though I weren't there. What's happened? Silence reigned, the astonished crowd searching for the voice's source. The old magician cleared his throat.
I thought as much.
He took another step in the direction of the voice.
Through some form of unspeakable magic, I fear the ghastly creature cast a spell, making you invisible.
The crowd gasped.
How long it will last, I have no way of knowing.
Jilin, cried Tally, listening to the exchange with growing excitement.
Then all that's happened is that you're invisible. You're still here.
Moving gleefully toward his voice, she suddenly stopped and looked down at her shoulder.
It's me, he said numbly. I'm touching you.
He took her hand.
You can't see my hand, can you?
She looked down. Feeling his hand, all she saw was hers. She shook her head.
I see both hands, he said. We learned from Olamon something horrible would occur should a Granum capture us. We saw one seize Raedel. One moment she was there, the next she wasn't. We didn't know what happened to her, where she went, whether she was dead or alive. only that she had vanished. Tally glanced up. Then she might not have been destroyed after all. She looked at Speckerin. Does anyone know what became of her? Is it possible she was just made invisible like Jilin?
Duan was dispatched to bring her here, said Speckerin. They haven't arrived, but according to him, she's in the same condition as Jilin.
Is she all right otherwise? Asked Jilin.
I don't know, said the old magician.
Tally spoke softly to Jilin. I'm sorry the monster touched you. If only it had been me.
Turning to Speckerin, she spoke animatedly.
Olamon told us what might happen if Agronim caught us. He said it could be different for each of us. Death, a maiming injury, loss of memory and orientation, or something else he wasn't certain about. Thank goodness! What he wasn't certain about seems to be invisibility.
The crowd was totally befuddled by this conversation, to say nothing of events of the night, and they anxiously questioned one another.
Two of our youngsters invisible?
What manner of fiends are these, who are aggressive and violent and make victims invisible?
And, according to Tally, it might have been worse, much worse.
Gathering around Jilin were his family and friends, trying to console him, reaching out to find and touch him, hugging him, touching his foot. But one by one the friends moved away, leaving him with Tally and his bewildered family.
The handsomest lad in either clan, mumbled a woman in the crowd. Those dark, beautiful eyes, his mother's eyes. How dreadful this should happen, and to him.
Halset, the brave Kieran injured trying to intercede when the Granums attacked, arose painfully from the floor to address Speckerin.
Why did this happen? Who are these beasts? Will another assault come?
The crowd shouted in accord, wanting answers, demanding answers. Speckerin raised his arms to quiet them.
You ask something I know little about. I'll tell you what I do know. On one hand, I wish I knew more, as do you. But on the other, I understand that simply having the knowledge places one in jeopardy. You saw the results of that here.
The crowd was dead silent as he went on.
I only know what Hutt told me and what you all have heard from Jilin and Tally. The ghastly creatures who attack tonight, Granums, have a single function in life, to pursue and capture any Kieran with a particular knowledge. Jilin, Tally, and Raydel have it. From the time they received it, whatever it is, they've been hunted day and night. Raydel and Jilin were caught and made invisible. Whether that brings an end to their being stalked, I don't know.
His speech ceased abruptly and all heads turned as the party led by Duan landed safely on the platform, Raydel among them.
No one could see her, but she ran to her family, who welcomed her with open arms.
Then an unparalleled scene unfolded before Speckerin's eyes. Tally walked toward Raydel's family, one hand clutching what appeared to be nothing.
She's escorting Jilin to Raydel, thought the magician.
A cry of Tally rang out as Raydel saw her. Then Raydel must have touched Tally's foot with hers. The blonde girl glanced down, then looked up smiling and reached out to affectionately hug her friend.
It was awful being in the forest alone, said Raydel. She paused. Where's Jilin?
Here, said Tally, raising her hand, holding Jilin's in it. What happened to you happened to him tonight.
No, cried Raydel.
Listen, I'm thankful you're both alive, said Tally, and under the clan's protection. She found Raydel's hand and placed Jilin's in it.
Hello, Raydel, said Jilin calmly.
Are you all right? Asked Raydel.
Yes, came his reply. Except I'm in the same condition as you.
Two invisible youngsters, thought Speckerin, unable to see each other, discussing their disheartening condition.
Tally's between them, arms extended, looking to one side, then the other, a hand apparently on the shoulder of each.
mediating between shadows that think and talk and have emotions and are our youths. Things have happened too fast and have gone too far. My mind's a whirl. I must confer with Duan. Collecting himself, Spekeren spoke to the crowd. You who are able-bodied, remove the carcasses of these dead mongers of evil from our gathering place. They defile this surface, constructed those many years ago, and remove the stains of their blood, if it can be called that. He spoke in a low voice to Duan. Come with me. Several individuals set about the gruesome task of removing the stinking bodies and eradicating the stains. They found, however, that the remains of the fluid could not be eliminated completely. It had seeped and soaked its malevolent way into the grain and substance of their cherished wood. When you went to get Raydel tonight, said Spekeren, the magicians now sequestered in his quarters, how in the world did you locate her? She's invisible. She called my name, said Duan, then refused to come with me until I told her Jilin and Tali would be here. That changed her mind. And her condition, other than being invisible? As far as I know, she's normal. Good. Hopefully that's true of Jilin. Now tell me something else, and draw upon all your wisdom and knowledge, for it could be the most important advice you ever give. What should we do next, you and I and the clans? Protect and support the youths with this vital knowledge. Do whatever it takes to help them. If it means making sacrifices, we must do it. If it means embarking on a dangerous quest, we must find the courage and stamina to do so. If it means defending them to the death, it must be done. My sentiments exactly, old friend, but I fear it might mean all those and more. Hutt told me the youths must travel a great distance, over land and water, to the Hanging Stones. We'll support them with a traveling party from the two clans, and we've no time to waste. How many should go? Spekeren stopped and thought. A workable number would be 5. An excessive number wouldn't be leaving the clans, but enough would go to help one another through trying times. Agreed. The magicians reappeared on the platform, Spekeren with luminescent globe in hand. Striding toward the fire, he thought about the unique globe and wondered how much longer he'd be using it. The light in it wasn't fire, but a glowing greenish-white luminescence. Anyone near it would marvel that it wasn't warm, that the container was cool. A prized possession, he had employed it more frequently than any other magical instrument, for clan meetings, of which there were many, and momentous occasions, of which this was tragically one. In his mind, the light showed the way to correct decisions. It gave him confidence, and in this distressing time, he thought, that is sorely needed. Arriving at the center, he placed the globe on a standard. The light grew in intensity, illuminating the scene. The old magician took a deep breath and began. My good Kirins, we've been fortunate, living sheltered lives in our plentiful forest. But, as you've witnessed, something reprehensible has come, threatening to take control of us with its dark magic, violence, and killing. We're but common folk, but someone must fight back and suppress this evil before it's too late. Duan and I believe the madness will go on if no one intercedes. But who can intercede? Where does the menace come from? What can combat it? We think, we hope, Jilin, Tali, and Raydel know that Olamon told them before he died. Their knowledge is so important that any possessor of it is under incessant attack. We can intervene by helping the chosen youths. We must do it, for them and ourselves. Lowering his voice, he went on. Jilin and Tali have revealed they must travel a great distance to do what they must. Duan and I feel our clans should select a group to accompany them. We know few specifics about where we'd go and what we'd do. Knowing more would place us in jeopardy.
He looked to the east, where the earliest glint of daylight touched low-hanging clouds. Pointing a finger at this first evidence of dawn, he continued, "This the youths have revealed. The expedition will be in the direction from which the sun rises, and thousands of clan dominions over land and water to reach the hanging stones. Kieran magic has been corrupted, and an old magic must be released. Something lurks beyond the horizon that must be assaulted, dismantled, and destroyed. Even though," he remarked inwardly, "we haven't a clue how to do that." "It's a duty which can't be ignored." His voice became hushed. "To do so would sound a death knell for the Kieran race." He looked into the faces around him. "This horrendous night is ending. But from now on we may never relax, for we know not when the next assault will come. We only know it will. Duan and I feel that 5 would be a good number for a traveling party. Except for the youths with the knowledge, we have no notion who should go and who shouldn't. The mission will be anything but child's play. Look into the eyes of those around you, then tell me, who is best equipped to assume such duty?" Chapter 14. Striding to the fore was the familiar Yorl elder Rugum Chamter, with his gray beard, rounded helmet, and furrowed brow. Cinched snugly to his side was the axe, tarnished earlier, striking Agronom. The circle of light spreading from Spekeren's globe was dimming gradually as early daylight gathered in the sky. Rugum turned to the throng.
"I hope to be among those chosen. I'm not accustomed to boasting nor volunteering for perilous duty. But my skills in the forest are as broad and my handling of Eilon as competent as any member of either clan."
Whispers of agreement ran through the crowd.
"I'm also familiar with sustained travel. Some years ago, I represented our clan on a lengthy mission on Bird Eilon. Whatever other candidates come forward, I hope you keep my qualifications in mind."
He bowed to the magicians, then the audience, and strode back to his place.
"We'll do so," said Spekeren, nodding toward Duan.
Spekeren looked out over the crowd. "Are there other volunteers?" The first rays of morning sun were tinting Rogallinon's upper branches, and the magician's globe continued to pale. A murmur ran through the crowd as Blonde Tally stepped forward. The brave girl turned toward them and spoke softly, so softly at first that those farthest couldn't hear. But she went on, her voice strengthening with her resolve. "There's no argument about whether Jilin and I should go. We have the knowledge and want to go together to satisfy Olaman's spirit and end the problems that began far away." She paused. "Raedel, Jilin, and I are, or were, targets for our enemies. Both my friends were caught. Whether they still attract Granums isn't known. They might be free of this curse." "I'm the only one not captured," she thought anxiously. "I might be the only one still a target." "Should Jilin and I go," she said, "our enemies will surely follow. Should Raedel come, it could intensify the creature's appetites." Spekeren had heard enough. The matters Tally was discussing were too far-reaching to be left to 2 or 3 distracted youths. In addition to the burden of their knowledge, the threats to their lives, and the specter of their invisibility, decision-making was being assumed by the brave youngsters. "It's time," thought Spekeren, "to relieve them as much as possible."
"You have enough to deal with," he said. "The clans will select the party."
Tally hesitated, then relief showed on her face as she went back to her family. There she began whispering to, it appeared, no one, Of course, it was to Jilin. Spekran stood beside his dulling orb, now little brighter than a candle, beams of sunlight washing over the unprecedented scene. "Both Tali and Jilin should go," he said. "Should harm come to one, the other could carry on. Is there opposition to this?" The crowd was silent, numbed by the unfathomable events of the night, but no one disagreed. For the first time, Duan spoke.
"Raydel is young and inexperienced. I feel she should stay home with her family."
"We have no familiarity with enterprises like these," said Spekran, "but we must work out a way of protecting her and those around her. Things not previously done, even imagined, must now be accomplished."
Raydel didn't come forward, nor did anyone argue she be included.
"We need 3 resolute Kirins," said Spekran, "to accompany the 2 youths on an expedition from which none may return. We've heard from Rugam Chamter. Who else would volunteer?" Striding to the front was Diliani, a young woman in a long beige gown, who turned to face the crowd. Tall, with dark hair and penetrating black eyes, she was striking in appearance. Attacked earlier by Agronom, she appeared fully recovered. The Jarls knew her to be self-reliant and accomplished in Ilanry. The most gifted in the clan at communicating with Ilan, at times she appeared to have an inexplicable link with them. Not only knowing about local creatures, she was a student of animal lore from around the world. "I volunteer," she said. "I have talents I feel would be of special value to the party. Please consider me when you choose." She returned to her place in the crowd. Spekran nodded. "Who else would participate?" He saw movement to his left. Young Hutt stood up and came forward. Spekran nodded toward the youngster's family. "I was wondering how you felt, Master Hudson. In my chamber, you were insistent about the clan's helping."
"I promised Jilin I'd help," said the small lad.
"I've thought about it, sir. I'd like to go. I've always wished for true adventure."
The magician spoke sternly. "Don't allow youthful enthusiasm to color your reasoning. You might find adventure enough for a lifetime, should you survive."
From the crowd came the voice of Hutt's mother. "Our family has discussed it. In a way, Hutt too was chosen, not by a dying magician, but by his cousin, who's now in need of support. They aren't just cousins, but best friends. Our son would like to aid Jilin and the others, and ultimately, it would seem, all of us. We're not eager for him to go on a dangerous mission. He's young and can be impetuous. We'll miss him and worry every day. But he wishes to go and has his family's blessing." Spekran turned to the place in the crowd where he thought Jilin to be, near Tali.
"Would you like your cousin to go?"
"Very much," came the invisible lad's reply. "He said he'd help. He already has, by going to you on our behalf, then killing 2 Granums attacking Tali and me. I told him how they might be dealt with. He responded bravely."
"He did indeed," said Spekran. He nodded to Hutt.
"So be it, little one. The party might need some youthful energy and enthusiasm."
"I'll try to provide both," said the lad, a twinkle in his eye.
"And your skill with the blade?"
"I'll keep it sharp."
Patting him on the head, Spekran sent him back to his family. Duan was a magician of few words, but now he spoke.
"This crusade will need someone knowledgeable in magic. Spekran has been the one suspicious about Kirin magic. I have supported the status quo. One magician will clearly have to go, and one stay at home. I nominate Spekran for the mission."
"I'll go," said Spekran without hesitation, "and in doing so ask my friend Duan to oversee matters here. It won't be easy remaining at home in times like these. It might be easier, even safer, to go."
He looked the crowd over. "We've now chosen 4 members, Tali, Jilin, Hutt, and myself.
Is there opposition to any of us? None was offered. Deliani and Ruggum have volunteered, said Spekeren. The last choice is between them. Those who stay might have as much responsibility as those who go, or more. No one knows where a quest like this will lead, if anywhere at all. He turned to confer with Duan, then again addressed the throng. We recommend that Yorl members over 12 years of age cast votes for these two individuals of their clan. We will abide by the decision. No one opposed this, and the Yorls prepared to vote in the customary fashion. They covered their eyes with their hands, and when Spekeren called Ruggum's name, those voting for him raised a right foot, both magicians counting. When Spekeren called Deliani's name, those voting for her did the same. The voting's over, said the Yorl magician, and all eyes were again on him. Deliani will be the last member of our team. A disturbance made him look to his right. Rising noisily from the floor was Ruggum Chamter. How can it be? He asked gruffly, striding to the forefront. Does my experience in the forest and with Eilon and with travel command no respect in this clan? I'm unable to comprehend what you've done. This is a vital mission. The tally wasn't close, my old friend, said Spekeren gently. And I must say I agree with the clan. I think this was more an election of who should stay than who should go. Of course you're experienced and capable, and you have wisdom. The clan needs someone of your standing in this time of unrest. Shaking his head and growling, Ruggum said nothing more and returned to his place in the crowd. But at that moment, a plan began formulating in his mind that not even Spekeren, his intimate and longtime friend, could possibly have imagined.
Kirin's The Spell of Noan, written and narrated by James D. Priest.
To learn more about Kirin's, visit www.kirinbooks.com.
You have been listening to A Good Book on Sun Sounds of Arizona.